the ball guys starting with a little ole, 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 ole. Ole, ole. Yeah, little Maverick. Give us a Maverick goal, TJ.
Oh, you guys were just saying that my microphone is loud today. Do you really want me to do that?
Go for it. Yeah.
I gotta save my Maverick goal for Friday and Saturday because I'm a little under the weather right now.
Under the weather. And hopefully you'll be doing that a lot.
Yes.
Let's start right out of the gate talking MSU Maverick men's hockey. CCHA champs again after a nail biter of a series against Michigan Tech. And TJ was there's nothing happening offense wise. Again, shots on goals, chances, opportunities, no goals. And we came up against a really good goaltender.
Yeah, Blake Pietola is a great goaltender, probably the best in the CCHA right now. And he showed that to us on Friday night with a nice little 2-0 shutout win for Michigan Tech. And so it came down to Saturday night, senior night, McNaughton Cup, a few alumni represented, including David Backus that night. I mean, they just decided to cram all of the things into Saturday for us instead of splitting them up between Friday and Saturday night. Fun time, though.
Yeah,
hey, TJ, you sound a little under the weather. Are you just still hungover or...
maybe you know, it was weird because on Friday I thought I kind of feel like I got a little tickle in my throat and I didn't think anything of it. Saturday I felt absolutely fine, had a great time at the game, and then when the game got over, I took a moment after to haul some people who had been celebrating since before the game started home for the night. Then I delivered my own self back downtown and tried to play catch up. So yeah, Sunday was a tough day.
Yeah.
I poured myself into my car seat and drove to the X and watched Kirill Kaprizov score that natural hat trick.
Nice.
And then I woke up on Monday going, uh-oh, it's rehab time for the whole week to get to the weekend. Cause yeah, I got a little bit of a respiratory thing going. So hopefully by Friday I'm ready to go.
All right. Feel better.
It was a good time though. Saturday night was a lot of fun.
We finally beat the goalie. We finally got one past Pietola?
Pietola. There's three of them on that team, actually.
What's up with that? Is that a, hey, you can have the world-class goalie, but you got to take his two schmo cousins? Or are they all, they've got to be related. That's not like a common.
Yeah, they're all brothers.
All right.
Blake and Logan, I believe, are twins and they're seniors. And then they have a brother, Jed, who is a junior. And if I'm not mistaken, there's more. I was talking to some people. Strangely, I was doing a tour at Mankato Brewery on Saturday afternoon, and a couple of Tech fans were there. And it was Tech fans by way of Bemidji in Mankato to watch the game. And I was like, that is the weirdest combination. But they said, yeah, if you go into the Upper Peninsula, the Pietola name is fairly common. It's like Smith.
I was kind of wondering what was going on with that. I thought it was.
You've seen that in some places because Bemidji had the Fitzgerald triplets for a little while. And as much as I wanted to really always beat Bemidji, I kind of wanted to call a Fitzgerald from Fitzgerald and Fitzgerald goal. You know,
who wouldn't? You've also always wanted to drink out of that cup, and you think that's what led. You think that has not been washed thoroughly, that perhaps this led to your upper respiratory infection.
Well, let me just say, I allegedly drank out of a 110-year-old 40-pound silver cup on Saturday night.
Right.
I didn't think about it at the moment, but it was after the fact that I thought, man, I've seen people drop their babies in that cup and take pictures. Who knows where that thing has been over the last 110 years.
Right?
But in the moment, I was all in.
You might have a really bad case of cup lung. You'll have to.
Maybe I'm allergic to silver and I don't know it.
That's it. It could be. Peanut allergy? No. McNaughton Cup allergy.
Yeah. Straight up silver.
So I think I saw this on social media. Is this right, TJ? A six-peat. We've won six conference championships in a row, which is a record, correct?
Yeah, let me anger the Gopher fans because they will argue this, that the Gophers were also, they were the first to win six consecutive, but they shared it in 2013. We're the first team to win six outright in a row.
I got
that argument comes in. And yes, in the initial tweet, I believe it wasn't stated six, outright championships in a row.
Okay.
And so Gopher fans got a little crusty about that, which I get. Gophers are going to be a hard team to beat this year.
Yes.
When we get to the postseason. So, but it's fun to have people hating on the Mavericks. Like, usually it's only the elite teams that people hate on. And so here we are. We'll take it. Right. Bring it. I don't care.
I always hate on Quinnipiac because I don't know how to say Quinnipiac right.
Yeah.
So I always goof it up. There's like 16 different ways of pronouncing it. So that's usually where my anger is vented. TJ, why was it so important to win the conference versus finishing second? What are the advantages that come from doing that?
Well, home ice is the biggest advantage. When you're the one seed, there's eight teams in the CCHA. So when it comes to the playoffs, you're going to go, your top four teams are going to host in the first round, the bottom four teams. You just flip the script on that. So we'll take on whoever ends up last in the CCHA, and that ended up being Lake Superior State. And so we'll have home ice. Should we win the best of three coming up this weekend at, 7:07 on Friday, 6:07 on Saturday, and 5:07 on Sunday if needed, then we'll host again. And the good news there is that we're able to host, if we continue to win, we'll host all the way through to the championship game, which we know how that went last year against Bemidji. Hopefully we don't have any sort of weird snafu, any weird officiating things going on, any strange reviews, attack of the drones or any of that stuff. Let's just get through some playoff hockey and have a winner and a loser and no drama. So yeah, home ice is the big deal. To fill our barn and have everything happening right here in Mankato is the goal.
Yeah.
Although there's been a lot of tongue in cheek talk about, well, we haven't been as good at home this year as we have in the past, so maybe we want to go on the road. But at this point, if we keep winning, we're home all the way through.
And once you get past this series, it's not a best of anymore. It's one and done.
Right. One and done. So interesting, because St. Thomas, who's been playing very well lately, will go out to Houghton and play Michigan Tech this weekend in their best of three. Who knows what'll happen there? I know a lot of people, though, would love to see Michigan Tech, and I know Michigan Tech wants to be the ones to come back to Mankato and play that championship game. So that makes me nervous as hell. I won't lie to you. I'm like, people say they want to see that game, and I'm like, I know it's right thing to say, but I want to see an upset somewhere along the way and maybe play a team that's not as good, because Tech is a good hockey team.
Yeah, there. Yeah, that was a hell of a game on Saturday. You brought up the drone. Let's talk about the drone. I don't know if anybody else was in the house or read about it on social media, but from what I gathered, and I assumed it was this, it was something that MSU had up there gathering some cool video footage. But I think fans were really bothered by the fact that the drone wasn't just flown pregame, postgame, between periods. It was being flown in game, like during action. And I got to tell you, it was irritating as hell for most fans.
Yeah, it was irritating for everybody who didn't expect it, I think. As part of a marketing plan for Minnesota State, when that video comes out and it hits their socials, it's going to look so cool.
It is.
But you're right about that. The fans hated it. It was a huge distraction to those of us working the game. And even at the end of the first period, the players were coming off the ice saying, "You got to get rid of that drone." And I'm like, I have nothing to do.
Really?
The common misconception is I have nothing to do with the drone. I don't have anything to do with the music that is played, things like that. I don't make those choices. I don't pick the winners of the contests.
Huh.
I am just Ron Burgundy behind a microphone saying what they tell me to say. So I told him, I said, yes, everybody's frustrated with the drone 2 feet above your head while you're on the penalty kill. I get it. We're having a discussion about it. So the drone did kind of back off and kind of stayed above the crowd. And then during whistles, when play was stopped, it was able to kind of come back in. But yeah, even if it had been another 10 feet above the ice, the sound of it was annoying, but I think it would have been way better and much less of a distraction, specifically for the players. I mean, it felt like, Joe Sean, the head coach for Michigan Tech, literally had a hockey stick in his hand, and he was ready to try to swat this thing out of the air.
That's what I heard. He was going to bring that thing down.
Yep. Oh, I kind of wanted to see it, but it didn't happen.
Right.
I do look forward to seeing the footage, because it'll be pretty sweet when it happens. They brought that drone out last year, but they did some practice stuff with it, and they flew it up and down the hallways of their facility and all of that, and they had a video that was really neat. But using it in game, during the game, just feet above the players, and specifically on a power play, while one team's trying to kill that penalty, what a distraction. I don't think that was the right way to go with that.
No.
If they wanted to get hits, they should have let that coach down that thing. Can you imagine?
Yeah. Oh, that would have been
sweet. That would have been huge. Just crush it. Some drunken college student would take it out. I really right.
Well, and I thought, what if something did happen? What if a puck hits it in the middle of play and then it hits the ice? Now you got to stop and you got to set up again and do another faceoff. I'm like, what a disaster that could have been.
Hey, are we going to have to sing Afternoon Delight now? Or are we?
Oh, the Ron Burgundy?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. It took you guys. Yeah.
It took me a minute, too. I was like, what? Yeah,
well, unfortunately, when I know the words, so I could
get right.
Whoever was flying the drone, though, top notch. I mean, they were buzzing that thing around, in and out and up and down, and they avoided everybody. They were coming. They're going, you know, out into the Concord, back, and then into the locker rooms, and then back, and then over. And it was, I knew it wasn't you flying it, TJ, because it was too good.
Yeah, I was too busy playing the music and picking the winners of all the contests.
Yeah, you know that you do. So
the guy actually wears like VR goggles, and so he sees what the drone sees. It's not like he's watching it from afar. He's literally seeing through the eyes of the drone, and so he's able to. And he's super, super talented. I believe he was also out at Hockey Day last year. I think it was the same guy. But yeah, phenomenal. Really cool. But during play like that, it was a huge distraction for just about everybody.
Winning that cup Saturday, was that Coach Mike Hastings' greatest accomplishment yet? And I say that because, and you're like, well, it's six times. Why would that be a big deal? Because young team... No real goal scorers. Cilia probably, but other than that, Hobie Baker, goaltender, gone. Slew of injuries from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
Hastings pulls the rabbit out of his hat at the very end.
Right. Well, I could go on, but anybody else want to chime in on their thoughts on that before?
Yeah, I mean, he's established a culture that's winning. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, it was a gritty win for sure, and it was one that we needed to get in that building. We could have shared the cup. We could have lost it outright and in dramatic fashion. I know that Tech fans will argue, the goalie interference penalty that took away their goal. They will argue that there was a hooking before that that didn't get called, but neither one of those got called, and it was actually Hastings' persuasive nature that got the refs didn't want to look. They didn't want to go look at it. And they can't use the video replay happening on the scoreboard as review footage, but they played it about five or six times while they were talking to Hastings. And everybody saw the cross check to the back of the goalie down to the ice. Now, I will say, I still think they would have scored there if that penalty hadn't happened. But it was a penalty. And those are the rules of the game. So the penalty happened during the score. So it's no goal. And then that's the way it turned out. It's just officiating, and it's frustrating. I know if you're on the losing end of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a fan though, you're right. You're seeing the replay over and over, and you're getting more and more upset when you see something obvious. And then you see the referees just stone faced, not heading to the review booth to take a look at it. And they've looked at so many things so many times this season. Right. And you're like, my God, how can you not go over there and take a look?
Both teams had used their timeouts, too, and usually you can use a challenge on a play like that, and then if you lose it, you lose that timeout. But Hastings was just persuasive enough that he said, you know, you have to go look at that. You know, that's a big deal, and they did. They came over, and they looked at it, and sure enough, it was a penalty, goaltender interference, and it wiped away that goal, and that was a big factor.
Lake State, the first-round opponent, is this a cakewalk? I mean... Yeah, best against worst, but I don't know. Nothing's been easy this year.
Nothing at home. Every team seems to be playing a little bit better than they were at the beginning of the year, which is understandable. They should be. Stats that scare me are Mavericks being 28-4-1 all time against Lake State, or MSU winning 9 of the last 10 it terrifies me. Those are great stats. That's awesome. But you can't sit back and think this is going to be a cakewalk. So, MSU has outscored. I think I saw it was like 29-8 MSU has outscored Lake State in their last, I don't know how many games it is, 10 games. Again, in a season where we've struggled to score, that terrifies me because we've got to continue that streak.
Well, and everybody's gunning for MSU. You know, I mean, they're all gunning for the Mavs.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone loves to hate us now, and I love that.
Yeah, we're finally that team.
Yes. Yeah.
Despite 8 losses at home this season, the crowds have been girthy, including last weekend at the Mayo. Oh, my God. You better say it, TJ.
Mayo Clinic Health System Mayo Event Clinic Center.
Oh, my God. It just
rolls right off the tongue.
The so MCHESC.
Yeah. Oh, that's even easier. Yeah. It's just so easy to remember. But the crowds, they've come out. They've supported this team, and it hasn't been the typical what it's been the past few years. But that's encouraging to see, right?
Yeah, big time. I think they're only a couple hundred people shy of averaging a sellout every game this year, which is pretty awesome. So you've got 45, 46, 4,700 people in there every time there's a game. You were there Friday, right, Greg?
Both, yeah. I was there for both.
There was a weird energy on Friday. Everybody seemed really quiet, felt like they were holding their breath, waiting for that moment to just explode, right? Yep. And it never happened on Friday.
Yeah.
Same thing on Saturday. But then when we scored that first goal, I'm like, there we go. You know? I'm like, when it's so loud in there that you can't hear me making announcements, that's the perfect crowd, you know?
Well, that was a good time. Crowd, yeah, that's what we always say as a crowd. Is there any way we can get loud enough to drown out TJ so we don't that's always the goal.
Yeah.
But
good.
Will the Gophers win it all? They've been ranked number one for most of it. And boy, what a quick turnaround for those guys, huh?
Anybody else? I don't want them to win it all, but they very well could. They're solid this year. That rookie kid, that freshman, Snuggerud or whatever, holy smokes.
Yeah. Yep. Good. Yeah. It'll be a huge upset, whoever can knock them off.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk pro hockey a little bit. And Spence, Friday's the trade deadline. We're getting close, but the team's already been active this week.
Yeah, they picked up Johansson yesterday. So I'm making a few deals, not giving up a whole lot other than some picks.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Some later draft picks.
Yeah, I like it.
Nyquist, they pick up Nyquist from Columbus. He's on the injured list, but this must be a guy they figure when healthy is going to be able to help them out. And we were getting vibes earlier, weren't we, Spence, that maybe Bill Guerin wasn't going to make any moves. But man, they've been playing some really good hockey lately.
They're 7-1-2 their last 10. They're 1 point back of Dallas and the fourth best points in the West.
That's a reason to stock up, right?
Yep.
Do you think there are more moves coming, if you had to guess?
Yes. I read yesterday, maybe you guys saw that too, that maybe they trade Greenway away, but we'll see. I kind of like to let them just kind of stand pat and maybe bring up Rossi or something here and give him some playing time before playoffs, but we'll see.
All right. Is anybody going to ever beat Boston though? I mean, those guys, they beefed up again.
Yeah.
After already being just unbelievable. So
even their goalie is scoring goals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see that video?
Yeah.
It was insane. Empty netter, but still. I mean, yep.
That was pretty cool.
From 200 feet away though.
Yeah.
That's a good eye. That's a dead eye shot right there is what that is. Wild beat the Islanders in a shootout last night. And man, that Gus bus, man, hop aboard because the Gus bus is still rolling. He was a brick wall last night. Philip Gustafson, I mean, talking about a guy just falling into your laps because we got him in the trade for our backup, well, I don't know, co-goaltender last year.
Right.
We had no idea. We're like, who is this? How do you say his name? And now he's everybody's favorite player almost.
Well, you know, what was interesting is, I mean, I don't know if you remember this, but early on in the season, he wasn't very good. And he was, you know, he was not sure of himself, it seemed like, or whatever. But boy, has he ever come on great. I mean, you know, and he's not 47 years old, so that's good.
he's second. He's second in goals against and second in save percentage right now.
Yeah.
And he was a big pain in Parisi's ass last night, which was kind of fun to watch, too.
Right?
He just skates with a lot of confidence. He's just in that crease. There's not an issue at all. When you see Fleury play, he makes you nervous.
Yes.
Gustafson is like, he's money right now.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's just a confidence thing, I guess, right? Because, yeah. I mean, once he had a couple of good games behind him, golly, that whole thing just did a 180.
Yeah, totally.
You could just tell. You could tell he
There's like five or six guys from Sweden on the team now. Mm-hmm. I think Canada is the only more represented country on our team right now.
Yeah.
I saw a wild hater say, all Swedish, no Finnish.
Oh.
Ouch.
And I thought that was super clever, but I'm a fan, so I had to hate it.
Are they going to play the Swedish national anthem before?
Maybe they should.
And should we learn the lyrics to it? Anybody familiar with it? I do have the Canadian down, but
can we just play ABBA instead?
You play Waterloo by
ABBA
instead, maybe. Timberwolves, God, I don't know, Spence, what's going on with your Wolves? They look good last night, but God, they're just so.
Well, hold on. They're in the eighth spot in the West.
Yeah, I know.
Is Golden State any good?
Yeah.
They're two games ahead. They're two games. They're the defending champs. They're two games ahead of the Timberwolves. We're 2.5 from fifth place, so. Let's hold on.
Before the Clippers, though, those three previous games were all very winnable, and we blew big leads. In some games, we blew big leads twice in the same game.
We should have beat Golden State the other night, but they were ice cold in that fourth quarter, and
like, they were without their star player, and it just, I mean, the door was open to beat that team, and then a couple of crappy teams they lost to too. Just frustratingly unpredictable and inconsistent. Spence, do you want to talk a little bit about you were telling me your ticket story. You were looking for maybe getting some tickets to take a young man to the Wolves game.
I was thinking about looking at tickets the other day. I'm like, just kind of going, okay, and trying to pick and choose what's left. You know, there's not many games, home games that are left. Yep. And I'm like, okay, not bad. Like, okay, the Laker game's coming up, I think, in April sometime. I'm like, okay, yeah, LeBron, that'd be kind of neat.
Yeah,
I guess, to see the Lakers and the LeBron hype and all that. But when you look at the ticket prices compared to the Atlanta game, it's two or three times as high. It's like, oh, maybe not the Laker game. Let's how about the Pelicans? Let's go see.
How do you feel about Atlanta? You want to go see?
I don't even know a Pelicans player, but I think, hey, let's go see them.
Yeah, demand-based pricing has crept into sports, and I get it what they're doing, but God, that'd be like if you go to the movie theater and you want to see something really, really shitty, and they're like, hey, that's only $2 to see that one, but if you want to see that movie that's up for the Oscar, that's $25.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, the difference is, okay, even upper deck corner for Laker game, it's like $110 a ticket. Ooh. Or 135, and then you go to the Atlanta game or the New Orleans game, it's like, you know, 50, something like that. And then there's some other ones that are resale tickets that are cheaper other places too, but I don't know about going that Laker game.
Well, and now the issue is too, you know, the big hotbed word is this load management. Even if you spend the money on those extra tickets, you know, to go to the Lakers, you know, spend a little extra money, you might not see anyone anyway. I mean, they're all these superstars are sitting because they're expected to play too much.
True.
I feel bad for them too. I feel terrible.
Could you imagine if you shell out that money and you bring the kiddo there and they're, oh, LeBron's not dressed tonight. That's great.
Right. Might as well sit. It's the Wolves. That'd be my luck. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that's wrong. I do, Dougie. I'm glad some players, including Ant, have spoken out on this and have really just really put some. And I don't know if it's all on the player, but just this whole load management theory, just really putting it on blast because it's a ripoff to fans.
Well, the large mound of rebound weighed in on it yesterday. Sir Charles Barkley, he put it out there. I think it was on Twitter. But basically he was calling them out saying, hey, these guys are making $70 million a year. They're expected to play a game 3, maybe 4 days a week. And now they're talking about load management and these guys aren't sitting. Or, and then I think he brought up steel mill workers, which I'm guessing he's, you know, an authority on. He probably knows the work habits of these workers, but, yeah. But I mean, it does. It makes sense. And Charles Barkley is not one that I'm usually going to listen to and go, boy, that guy brings up a good point. But in this one, I was behind him. I think that is ridiculous the way that these guys are sitting now.
Yeah, and it isn't just a situation where, like, oh, we have two games left. We've clinched. We can't move up or down. Let's give some players a night off, get them rested for playoffs, something like that. That's all understandable. We get that. But, yeah, if you're coming in here early April to play Minnesota and you're like, nah, we're probably going to win this game without LeBron. Let's give him a blow. That's BS to all those fans that paid those inflated prices because they paid to see those star players in town. I remember going to this is really dating me, but when the Timberwolves were building Target Center and they played some games at the Metrodome, I remember sitting way the hell out in center field when the Bulls came into town so I could be there and say I saw Michael Jordan play the Timberwolves, and he played. He was in the lineup. There was no load management.
You just get the field glasses out.
Well, I saw him on the scoreboard. Basically, I saw a guy in a white shorts and tank top. So I bring the scoreboard. It was him.
I did the same thing when the Lakers came to town. I wanted to see Magic Johnson. It was like a squint fest. I'm like,
yeah, yeah.
Good Lord.
But you saw him. He was in the game.
And I did see him play. Yep.
You can tell the kids and grandkids that you saw him play. We'll shift to baseball here and wrap up with this. Grapefruit League games are underway in Fort Myers. In fact, I believe the first televised game is today as we record this, Wednesday, against the Phillies from Hammond Stadium. And one guy to watch, God, did he have a game yesterday? This is a name I've heard, because things are mostly set for the Twins, right? We kind of know generally who's, you know, in the starting rotation, who's in the bullpen, around the field, outfield, infield. We kind of know, right? Catcher, we know who our two catchers are. But the name I keep hearing about is Eddie Julian. You got to watch Eddie Julian. He's a top prospect. And he slugged 2 out of the park yesterday. So here's a guy who's like never played, probably started at Double A, but man, I mean, making an impression on all the big league coaches and scouts and players. Can you imagine that being just a prospect like that, and you hit 2 out in the spring?
One of those was just a bomb, too, wasn't it? I mean, I haven't been following that close, but I was just like Doug said, flipping through Twitter, and I stopped and. And they were like, I don't know if this one's landed yet. And I watched and was like, geez, he connected with that one. So that's good to see. Maybe that's, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's good to have high hopes early. That's a typical Twins fan thing.
Yeah. No, but that's better to see than him whiffing and then getting hurt, carrying his gear bag out to the bus or something like that. Right. New rules are in effect. And that's what most people are buzzing about right now with spring training. The bigger bases and this and that, but the one that's got everybody's undies in a bunch is the pitch timer, which is proving to be not only controversial, but Dougie, effective as well. I'm hearing that they're shaving like 15, 20 minutes off the length of a spring game even.
Well, I'm actually kind of afraid to say anything because I know Spence is going to yell at me because we had this conversation the other day. I like it. I mean, baseball is an action-packed sport. It's a cerebral game, you know? And so, yeah, it's going to be a slower pace overall. So I actually like anything they can do to speed it up. And, like, if you use one of the Twins greats, Chuck Knobloch, if I had to watch that guy adjust his gloves between every single attack, every single game,
right.
It was terrible. So, I mean, it will speed it up, and I don't think it really changes the game. It's not like you're putting any extra pressure on the pitchers or the batters or anything. I mean, they have ample time to do what they need to do to get up there. So, I mean, even 15 minutes over 162 games, that's pretty substantial.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at it from a one game standpoint, I also kind of see where Spence was yelling at me yesterday. So
I did not yell. I just
he was angry.
All right. Have at him, Spence. Give us the flip side.
What's the point of it? I don't get the point. I know it's not a timed game. I enjoy the game as it is. 15 minutes, if I'm going to watch a 9-inning game and it finishes 15 minutes longer, I don't care. I'm still invested. I'm still going to watch. I like the drama. Is this going to get the younger kids to come and watch? Oh, it's 15 minutes shorter. I'm in. Suddenly we're going to get
watch.
Baseball fans who are 20 years old. Oh my God, it's 20 minutes shorter. I think I'm in now. Leave it alone. I don't get the point of it. The frustrating thing with the gloves and all of the little nuances, but it's not a timed sport. Leave it alone.
Yeah, well, if I could make an analogy, I once golfed with a guy who had a pre-shot routine that was so annoying. I wanted to kill him.
Yes.
So just get up there and hit the damn ball.
Yeah, if it's only eliminating all the fiddle farting around,
yes,
Knobloch, you know, touches nuts 32 times for this ball. Then let's get rid of it. Then let's get rid of that. I'm a ball guy. I'm a purist. I love baseball. I love there's no clock, that there's no, oh my God, we've only got 30 seconds left. We got to do something. But man, if we can get rid of just some of that garbage, there's just too much of that fiddling around that goes on for absolutely no reason. And I don't think you can just talk to players and go, hey, could we speed it up? Yeah. Could you quit fooling around so much? Could we just play? Could you step in there and hit right? And no, nobody would do it because they all think, well, this is my routine. I got to do it. I got to make sure I touch my helmet and, you know, cross myself and pull up my drawers. And it's just, it gets to be too much with some, not everybody, but some of them for sure.
I'm actually interested to see how this affects when you got a guy on first base, for instance, and now, you know, that's where the clock is going to be really interesting, I think, because now, you know, the pickoffs and all that. Sure. So.
Oh, and there will be some controversy. There will be some situations where, you know, a rally is scrubbed or a game ends because of a violation of the clock, and it'll be ugly and fans will boo. And we'll see, but it's an adjustment period like anything else. So we'll see how it works out. I guess the next thing will be the robot umpires, right? I mean, that's the next
laser vision. I don't mind. I think it's two different aspects though. Like if I'm at the game, I don't mind if it takes a little while. You're there for the atmosphere and you know, but if I'm watching the game on TV, you're right. You know, I'll go, good, he's still touching himself. Let's just pitch the ball here. If I have time to get up and go to the bathroom and grab another beer and come sit down between pitches, oh my gosh, I'm going to be napping by the third inning, you know? So on television, I think I don't mind the clock. If I'm there in person, then whatever, I don't care. But obviously it's going to have to be the same either way.
Do you know what really annoys me about the Twins right now?
What's that?
The god awful ugly new M hat. I was at a birthday party over the weekend and somebody was wearing the new Twins, you know, road hat with the M and the goofy
star.
Not even a real looking star. It's a crappy looking little, I don't know what it is. Not really a star. But like, God, are you kidding me? It looks like the old Marlin logo from 20 years ago. I was like, Jesus, I don't know. That's my only complaint. I don't like M thing, but maybe you guys do. I don't know.
Good thing I kept the receipt because I bought you a new hat, Spence. Now I gotta bring it back to Kohl's.
Bring me the TC. I just need the TC logo on my hat.
It's gonna mess up my Kohl's cash situation too. I don't know. Well, we're all gonna go fiddle with our nuts for a while, and we'll be back soon with another round of the Ball Guys.